more about the future here. I think most of you know that because my son announced at the budget meeting recently, I'm sorry, the ministry plan meeting recently, that I had resigned as associate pastor and that I wasn't going to continue to have the church pay for my medical advantage, my Medicare Advantage health insurance. But my objective tonight was to explain that a little bit more and put some pieces together for you. And I wrote my notes down because I'm liable to get emotional. Okay, so bear with me, please. I'm just that kind of guy. I no longer feel that I can continue to serve in this capacity due to a few things which inhibit the level of participation that I believe ECF requires. In the 5 years that I've served in this role, I have truly loved getting to participate here as one of your pastors. It's a wonderful and unique opportunity. It's been a privilege that has been such a great blessing to me personally. I have loved working alongside Reed, who I've now known for 20 years, hard to believe, 20 years September, and I've learned so much from. I've also been supported by Teresa, who's always served me and the body here with a positive attitude. What can I do to help? We don't give her enough to do, though, you know, so she... That was a joke. But she's always been helpful. And I've been blessed to work alongside the elders. And it is my plan to continue working alongside and part of the elder board for as long as the Lord enables me to do so. But my primary reasons for stepping away are twofold, really. First is one that you're all aware of, my prolonged absences. Starting back when I retired from my professional life in August and then came here, started August 13th, 2012. That following January, we went out and spent a month with our daughter and son-in-law. Our daughter was thrilled. The son-in-law got a little tired of us, frankly. But over the last 5 years, that time has grown. We rent a place, so we're not in their face because their house is about the size of that pew. But we plan to continue doing that. We have a granddaughter now who's approaching three, and it's very hard, especially for grandma, not to be there. So we're going to continue to spend time out west in the winter. And as most of you know, we still own a house on Cape Cod that we use as a source of income as rental property. And while our spring visits are just filled with work to set the house up for the rental season, our fall time there has been a real blessing to us, as well as a blessing for the church there, as we've been able to minister. Last October, I preached five times there. But there's also health issues that I need to share with you. Those of you that know us are aware that Judy and I have had numerous health issues over our life. Some miraculous involvement in God sparing my life. But they have increasingly interfered with our ability to minister to the degree that we would like to and think we should. For the last year or so, I've been fighting a new problem that the Lord has seemed pleased to lay upon me for my own good. I was referred to the U of R Memory Clinic after Judy noticed that I have begun to exhibit more and more signs of mental loss of mental acuity as well as short-term memory. I've been through numerous evaluations, exams, four brain MRIs in the last 10 months, as well as participating in a clinical trial that has been ongoing for the last 5 months. I have received a diagnosis of MCI, which is mild cognitive impairment. One of the areas of frustration is my inability to multitask. I've found it more and more difficult to handle multiple tasks, which is really weird for me because my whole life, my whole professional career, I was able to juggle. My last job, I managed 12 different projects with 12 different project leaders. And it's harder and harder for me to be a single thread person. But that's where I'm at. In addition, I found that preparing sermons has been, it typically would take me 20 to 25 hours to prepare a sermon. The last couple of sermons have been twice that. Because my reading comprehension is dwindling at a rapid rate, so I almost have to write out everything I read, and then I forget what I read. And a couple of times I've gotten lost in my own notes. One of the most difficult phenomena of this problem is my ability to recognize people. Some of you were probably tempted to think that I didn't care much when I introduced myself for the third time. It's because I can't put your face with a name. It's not terrible yet. And once I've been around you for a long time, it seems to work. But that's been a real problem, and it communicates a lack of concern. And I wanted you to know that it's not because I have a lack of concern or care for you. I have an exceptionally problematic family history. Both of my parents, aunts, uncles, cousins, and now my oldest sister have exhibited notable memory loss with confirmed diagnosis of Alzheimer's or Lewy body dementia. So, I have not lost faith in my gracious Heavenly Father. This is just like a pancreas. It's just a different organ. And I know that He loves me and Judy. There's no doubt in my mind. And I know that He is able to do exceedingly abundantly beyond whatever we could imagine. And if He was pleased to do so, He could remove this veil from me. Just as with numerous other medical and physical issues that we've confronted, where we sense loss in our lives, God has used it to make us more like Christ. Trials are purposeful. Trials prove our legitimacy as sons and daughters, or they prove that we're not believers. We can't come out of a trial unaffected. You're always going to be impacted by the trials that we endure. Now, if you know me, you know that I'm a fighter. I used to be a runner. And when every bone in your body wants to quit at 3 miles, I would push on. And I want you to know that I will continue to do what I can to slow the mental degeneration as well as continue under medical care. I now have added 2 or 3 more doctors to my staff of health physicians. But they're all good, and this is a good area to be sick in, right? So we will keep fighting. And I'm doing whatever I can do to learn new things, new skills, to challenge and develop new areas of my mind. I'd be happy to talk to you about this personally. I'd rather not field any questions from the field right now about my state. But let me just say this as I turn this over to Reed. Going forward as an assembly, from my perspective, having served here for 5 years, we need an associate pastor. Some might say, hey, we're a small church. What do we need 2 pastors full-time or whatever for? And I will tell you, if you haven't been here, you don't know. But I am disappointed in myself for my lack of ability to do more because there's more to do. No one man, not even Reed, who's the most gifted man I've ever known, can have all the gifts and graces required to serve in a situation like this. There are so many things that our assembly is falling back on, and so many opportunities to do more. So my advice is that we need to look for someone with the immediate capability to come alongside of Reed, not just as his helper, but as yours, so as to free him to focus on serving us all with the gifts that God has blessed him with, in spite of his weaknesses and issues associated with his health. So I have my own four or five areas that I would like to plug somebody in, but that's where leadership team is going to work out over the next several months, is where to focus this person, and largely will depend on who it is that the Lord gives us and where they're gifted and where they have graces and how they will add to the ministry here at the church. Brother.
Before we go a step further, could I ask the elders to come so we can pray for Al? And Judy, where are you hiding? You want to come up? Is that okay? You can stay down. I'm going to ask her to come up and then get down. I'm going to ask Brian if you'd pray for them. That's a lot to lay out, and grateful for the candor and the openness in dealing with this. I've known Al's been struggling for a while. We all do, but big stuff. Brian, please.
Father, we come because we are your children. Mm. We are children who have need of a loving Father to yes. move in our hearts and lives. Lord, we commit Al and Judy to you gladly. Mm. Lord, knowing there are great needs, but you are a greater God.
Yes.
Lord, we have great expectations. We thank you mm-hmm. for what you've done and what you continue to do. Yes. And as he just said, Lord, that you who began a good work in them will see it to full completion until yes. the day of Jesus Christ. Mm. Lord, we're not asking for anything less than miracles as we move forward.
Yes.
We thank you, Lord, that you who birthed them and birthed them twice, Lord, would do a mighty work, Lord, that yes, would surprise Lord. Us all. Mm-hmm. But we know, Lord, that you are the great physician. Mm-hmm. You are the one who knows the end from the beginning.
Thank
and you know the finished product is a wonderful yes, one. And, Lord, we commit them to you knowing mm-hmm. that you are the one who loves them most.
Gracious.
We love them, Lord, mm-hmm. and we pray you'd move mm-hmm. in them, surprise them with your presence, Lord, hold them tightly in your hand.
Yes.
We thank you for doing that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, as you can imagine, those aren't easy things to bring before the group as a whole, and I'm grateful that was able to do that. You wouldn't know, unless you were behind the scenes like I am, how much of an impact Al especially has had on us in these last years that they've been here. His contributions to me personally, especially, have just been extraordinary. To us as a group of elders in his leadership and organization, he took that enormous burden off my back of wrestling with the land and the building things, which have been all across the board. It's just been absolutely bizarre. That's been 12 projects in and of itself. And he's the one who's shouldered all of that silently and frustrated by how the town and other things have slowed us up and what that's looked like. He has, as many of you know, done counseling with a number of you. that he and Judy love to be hospitable and have shown that over and over and have been models of that. And above all, Al's been forward-looking from the very beginning. He's never happy with where we are right now, but what are we going to be doing down the road? Where do we go ahead of this? What does that look like, and how do we put legs to it, even though the rest of us elders tend to be legless when it comes to doing that sort of a thing? I move at a flash pace, you know. If you've ever seen me run, you know what that looks like. And Al, on the other side, is just nonstop. And so this is it's a huge loss inside. Although he's still here and still a part of us, then they'll still be ministering and tied in. Nevertheless, this is a major change for us, and especially for me inside. With that comes discussion about myself and the future and what that looks like, which is necessary. I know it will come as a shock to some of you. I'm actually aging. I know I look 16, but it isn't true. I act 16. Okay, that's you know, when Skye and I got married, she said, you know, I was really hoping for a much younger guy. And I said, well, I'm grossly immature. Does that count? And apparently it did. She was satisfied with that. So I'll be 64 this year, so things are moving down that line. And I think there's just the natural abatement of energy levels that come with that. But of course, as you've known over these past years, 5 years ago when I had to take 6 months off due to all that was going on, and they diagnosed these two things, the HPP, I won't go into that, hypokalemic periodic paralysis, we won't go down that road, and the advent of these silent migraines, which continue to visit me on a daily basis. So there's lots of times when I'm just sitting, reading, studying, whatever, and I get the double vision, and you just have to wait until that goes away. And then after it goes away, you feel the aftermath of having had a migraine. So on some weeks, that's not too shabby. On other weeks, it's a little disturbing. This week, for instance, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday have been non-productive. I've been able to do precious little as a result, but you muddle through. You do what you can do, and that's the way that works. That isn't life-threatening. It isn't progressive. It's not going to take me out of the box, but it is what we have to wrestle with on a regular basis. That, in addition to the health situation with Skye's family, and you've been aware she's been away an awful lot due to that, her mom and dad needing her care down there. As on the outside, just so you know, because my energy levels and all have narrowed considerably, I've dropped off almost all external stuff that I've been involved in over the years. I resigned from a number of boards when this first came on, that 5 years ago, and have continued to say I'll take very, very limited outside things because my main love and my main focus needs to be here at ECF. Y'all are my first charge, and so I've tried to do that as much as possible. Skye will let you know that I turn down stuff that I'm unhappy having to turn down, things I'd rather not, but I just am not able. So as faculties narrow, putting energy into where I believe I can be most effective in the years I have left is something I've got to consider and we need to consider as a congregation. So as Al has already brought up, the idea of looking for someone to come on board full time to work alongside me, we'd like to not only look at a person for that particular capacity, but to be looking down the road to see if they may not be the person to actually take front runner. And so I'm not quitting. I'm not going anywhere right now. This is over time, but we're saying we need to start making plans for transition because we want transition. We want sound transition and solid transition with someone that y'all are comfortable with and that is a part of this fellowship and not a hired gun brought in from the outside. That's not the way we want to do things here, and you deserve more than that. I know you all, and I couldn't do that to you. So how much time will that transition take? That depends. It depends on who we find and what they've got and how we can work together. I would say that search for somebody to come in is something that needs to take place thoughtfully in terms of looking inside the assembly as well as outside the assembly. Who might be here, who can step up, who might not, what that looks like, who's available, what are the gift mixes, all of those things. So as we put together a plan, and we'll hand that out to you tonight before you're gone, we've got a nice handout for you. Unfortunately, it doesn't have any coupons in it for free pizza or anything, but which is what I lobbied for, but I got voted down. That handout will give kind of steps that we want to take or that we think are wisest to take as we move forward. And, of course, that's going to require input from the congregation as we move forward. We don't get to make pronouncements from on high. We want to have you all as a body engaged in that. And, of course, the number one thing we're going to be looking at there is someone with godly character. Skills can be taught. Character can't. And so we're looking for someone who already has an established, solid, steady walk with God that characterizes their lives above everything else. And then we can work the rest of it into it, and we can, you know, beatings and other things can really bring about lots of other abilities. That will mean we're going to have to consider a financial investment in the future. We're not geared to handle two full-time people. And so that's going to require some shifting. Are we going to have to dip into some funds? More than likely. Part of that will be ameliorated over time as I draw back and the other person takes more on. We can shift salaries. So some of that will come from a natural shifting in what that looks like. And I'm hoping to stay on, you know, as part of this church. I'm not looking to go anywhere, even as we transition leadership over time. The other thing is, and we haven't discussed this a lot recently because it's been the ongoing reality, is that enormous piece of property we have sitting over on the corner of Atlantic and 250. I'm sure I'm going to regret this, but I'm going to do it anyway. A couple of months ago, we were approached by a group, and that group came to Al and I. We had a meeting with them and a couple follow-up phone calls. We haven't heard much from them since, because they were probably pirates like Lionel. But they had spoken to us about purchasing all 35 acres, and they were talking in the tune of $100,000 an acre, $3.5 million. If that were to, in fact, come through, we wouldn't have to worry about what the financial commitment here might look like. Even if we sold it for far less than that, half that, would still put us in a position where we're not pinched financially and able to make a plan for a future where hopefully this church can continue to grow and to be established as an outpost, securing the worship of the true God in this place and the ministry of the word from here, and somebody with a skill set that goes outside my own and some of the others, areas that can be explored. We would love to do more in terms of external evangelism. That's a place where we need to definitely do a ton more. So somebody's got some gifts there. Somebody with a little experience under their belt, not a novice, but somebody who's been in church and worked with things and been around the block a time or two, been beaten a few times. That's really helpful. Somebody who's not too young and not too old. If they're too young, they're going to set everybody's hair on fire, those of us that still have hair. And if they're too old, you're going to be doing the same thing here again in a year or two. So we don't want to do that. But somewhere in that mid-range with some experience and some proven gifts that can come to the table for us. So our land is a gold mine. We'll see what the Lord does with that. Just this last week, and strange things can pop up, and maybe you guys on the board might still, the deacons might still want to do this. Last week I got a call from a realtor, and he said, "Hey, I've got a church for you to buy." I said, "Really? Yeah, where?" He said, "East Palmyra." So, well, it's not that far, but it's 14 miles from this door to that door, so it might be a little too far east. We were talking a building that already seats around 200 and has 4 acres of land and is in needs some. It's tired. It needs some updating. But they're talking $199,000 for the whole thing. Those opportunities will arise as the Lord makes them available. So that to me was just an encouragement that those things are still out there, and they can pop up at any time. And the Lord knows that. And we don't have to be in a hurry. We've learned not to be in a hurry, especially with the town of Penfield. So, okay, we will bide our time. They've only waited 12 years for the zoning change. I mean, that's nothing, except my dog died. But, you know, that it just if I had a dog, he'd have been too old. But we've got those things. The Lord has really blessed us with those resources and blessed us with good elders and with other resources internally. And so this is just, we want to make sure we plan for transition in the future rather than get caught off guard and have to do something last minute. That's unfair to you. That's sinning against you as a congregation. So putting these steps in order are a way that we can love you better and in the midst of all that's taking place here. So certainly we need prayer as we look forward to this as a congregation and for the elders and the deacons as we consider what's going. We need input. And as I said, we'll be looking both inside and outside. Nobody's off limits. You know, anybody sitting here today may get a note in the mail that says we want you to try out to be the associate pastor. And that is, you know that from Scripture, women can't be elders, and that's simply because you can't grow beards, but a few of you might be able to work that out. So we live in a strange day. So, you know, maybe you can come around that block. But so we don't know. We don't know what that looks like, and we're going to have to take that slowly and carefully and especially prayerfully so that we really see where things go. So as I said at the beginning, no, I'm not running out the door. I'm not quitting. This is not a resignation. This is, we need a plan for the future, and we want to start putting those wheels in motion as a group. We're looking to be better and looking down the road for what that might look like. And again, to maintain an outpost for solid biblical teaching and the public worship of the living God in this place and wherever the Lord might take us in that regard. So I do want to, those are kind of my primary remarks. Are there questions, comments, anything you want to toss at us at this moment? Something we've not been clear on or would be helpful to you? Really appreciate you taking the time to be out tonight to do this. But it's been overdue that we sit down as a family and talk these things through. And rather than have rumors flying and suppositions going and, ooh, what's going to happen next, better to be out on the table and make sure we're all talking the same language. Anything that anybody might have? Anything any of the elders want to contribute? Talk. Yes, the lovely woman near the back. Yes. Yeah, those steps are in the handout. We thought if we handed it out now, everybody would be reading it instead of listening to what we're saying. So we figured we'd wait. But yeah, Scott's really worked hard on this and put together a number of things. Al has been trying to get us to do this for a couple of years and put together some steps that would make sense of how we would move forward, and that is in the handout. None of it's set in stone, but it is an outline of what we think is a good way forward. Yeah, thank you for asking that. Anybody else? Yes, Helen. Craigslist? No. Okay, no, we'll avoid that. That is a really good question. And there's a couple of streams that we've considered and will consider as we move this. As you know, we are a fire church. We're part of the Fellowship of Independent Reformed Evangelicals. Those are churches around the country and some overseas that are very like-minded, very similar to ourselves. I served on the national board for FIRE for a number of years, and FIRE will be one of the places that we would go and say, among them, do you know somebody who's good, who's qualified, who's got, that we might be able to talk to and look at? Another one is, especially Al has had a long-term relationship with Dr. Steve Wellum at Southern Baptist Seminary. And Steve sees guys coming in and out all the time. And we've said, hey, can you toss us some names? People who you've observed, you have some familiarity with, who might be worth considering for something like this. We've also got pastoral friends that we talk to and networks that we're a part of. And so we would be going through them as well. So we think between those, we'll probably have enough candidates. Al just went through this at the church Nauset in Cape Cod, and you put out some sort of a listing. And how many responses did you get?
I put out because after I left Cape Church to come here, the full time guy kind of grew discouraged. He left and took a bigger church, so it's a very small little group. And I thought, boy, it's going to be tough to get anybody interested in a very small little group. I put an advertisement. On fire and got 12 or 13 respondents.
Yeah.
I had more resumes than I really could process, but ended up with 5 recommendations.
So we're reasonably sure there'll be enough of a pool to draw from, and especially with the various contacts that we have, both through fire, if we were through Southern Seminary, through... Nine Marks, if we were to approach them, Gospel Coalition, the connections that we have around the country and in those organizations. So I'm sure we'll have a sufficient pool to look at. Lionel. Oh, definitely. Yes, yes. A Southern drawl. Yeah. We are such a Southern-oriented church. Yeah. 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 Somebody who you know, lives on grits would be good. Yeah, yeah, appreciate that. Somebody who's out in the bayou that you know, wrestling alligators or something, would be helpful. Yeah, I'm sorry, were you going to say something? No? Anybody else? Good question so far. This will not be an overnight process. Yes? Yeah, I think, what's that? It's a CD, yeah. Yeah, yeah. That's the way Al has mentioned it to me for a while now, is he looks at the land as a CD, and he's just waiting for it to mature so we can cash it in. That is, to me, a signal aspect of providence, where God has allowed us to have that resource in the waiting for some reason, and that reason is beyond just muddling along, but that there's other things in store, and we want to be looking in that direction, planning for that. Absolutely. Yes, Ed.
I just wanted to pause for a couple of thoughts. This is, I think the only place that we all agree that this is something that we really need. I found out how much we needed it when Al came. Hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
for sure.
It's a very exciting thing to move forward on. And it's really, you know, now it's kind of set the expectation that it's necessary, and this is taking it further than
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yes, Hugh. Yeah, good question. And one of the things that you'll see in the handout that we gave out is one of the things that we're not looking for is a clone of me. Now, for some of you, that's a real sigh of relief. But we're not looking for that. We're looking for an entirely different set of gifts. Is that going to require capability in really handling the Word of God well? Absolutely. That's going to be at the top of the picture. But again, I think somebody with a more evangelistic focus, especially outside the church, and someone with some skill in managing larger projects and maybe having a look forward. One of the things that I do not have is what an awful lot of churches look for these days is someone who's quote-unquote a vision caster. That's not my gifting. I'm a really good guy at plodding, P-L-O-D-D-I-N-G, holding down the fort, keeping things steady. That's where I do best, and preaching the Word of God. Those are my skill sets. That's where I function. So we want somebody who's got some things that go beyond that, but certainly the Word of God is going to be central in that, and as we mentioned already, character is going to be a number one. That's something we can't set aside in any way, shape, or form, and so looking at history is going to be important. I learned a valuable lesson with Sky's parents and their church in Texas. They had a rather large church, and they hunted around and looked for a guy and got a guy with a lot of paper qualifications and a very gifted communicator. What they didn't know is that he was certifiably insane. And when he got there, it began to show rather quickly. Fortunately, they had an elder team that was strong enough to stand up in a very short period of time and say, you need to be gone. We can't do this. But I've seen that kind of disaster happen. A number of years ago, we, in one of the pastor's fellowships that we used to host here, still host here, we had a team that was coming up, an elder, pastor, and another deacon, I think, coming up from a church south of here, down near Ithaca. And they were coming on a regular basis, and one day the pastor came to me and he said, you know, I'm looking to retire, and I'd like a replacement. Do you have any suggestions? And I said, yeah, I've got a couple, three guys that I think would be really good, who were, among them was Ken Beaton and some others. And he said, well, you know, I've told them they must have somebody with a PhD. You know, that's an absolute requirement. And I said, I'm not sure that's really, you know, the way you want to. You don't want to nail everything to that one post. That's a little disconcerting. He said, no, got to have a PhD. They got a guy with a PhD. His PhD was in drama. And he virtually wrecked the church within 2 years. Almost completely destroyed it. Turned out to be a thief, turned out to be a philanderer, but he had a PhD. So we're hoping to look beyond those types of things. Yeah, would a person with a degree be helpful? Depends on where it came from and what it's in and where they work in that. But again, it's character and some proven ministry track record, how their family functions, and managing some larger projects, being able to navigate what's going to be coming down the road here and working with the deacons and the elders and working in a true, we have a wholly unique eldership relationship in this church that is not for everybody. An awful lot of guys And Ken Beaton will give you testimony to this. What he was taught in Bible school was you kind of go in and lay down the law. And kind of one guy takes over and cracks the whip and everybody needs to come into line. We don't work that way. We work as a true plurality of elders. So while I'm kind of lead, I'm lead among equals. I don't have a bigger vote than any of these guys. I don't stand up and make pronouncements to these guys. They listen to stuff, but they override me as well as it should be, so that we function as a unit and there isn't one person who gets to run away with the farm here. That is not going to be easy, because an awful lot of guys are used to coming in and saying, I'm lead dog and y'all just better get in line and follow me. We don't function that way. So lead, yes, but how you lead is a big question. And whether or not they function well with a true plurality is another question. That's going to be difficult for some. So that's one of those areas we're going to have to sort through, because they won't get to just, they won't get to run away with everything. They're going to have to function as a unit. Yeah. Yeah, Scott, do you want to go through any of that? Is there?
Sure, I can. Yeah. Before I do that, if necessary, back to the character question.
Yeah.
Maybe if you highlight again why that church is for sale at East Palm Island.
Yeah. Yeah. As I spoke to the realtor out there, and the realtor was a Christian. He's somebody I've known from, we have acquaintances from years back. I know him to be a pretty solid guy. The denomination told him they had had four pastors in a row who drove the church into the ground. Four. They couldn't keep a guy with decent character in the door. And as a result, the denomination, although that property's worth probably $500,000, the denomination said, we just can't put up with that anymore. Sell it for whatever you can get for it. We can't handle another guy coming through the door who's going to be a scoundrel and either rob the church or beat the sheep, and we just can't do it. That just happens. It happens all over the place. It's an astounding reality. So somebody with a track record of not being that way is who we're going to be looking for. And again, the idea is bring them in. Let's us work together. Let them be a part of this congregation for a while and see if it's a fit. And if after a year it's not a fit, we're going to have the courage to say, you know, we love you. Bye. And Christians don't know how to fire people. It's one of the real difficulties is Christians do not know how to fire people. Especially churches, because we're always erring on the side of just being as nice and forgiving. But if it isn't a fit, it isn't a fit. And we need to have the courage to say, that's not going to work. And, you know, we're going to have to look in some other direction. But hopefully, we can do some initial weeding, get somebody in here who really becomes a part of the congregation before actual transition begins to happen. That would be ideal, so that we can all be on board together. You know, how quickly that can happen, I don't know. It can happen very quickly with the right person, and it can happen very slowly if we have a couple of those that don't fit. And that isn't necessarily a black mark against them if they don't fit. We are a weird little corner of the universe, and not everybody's going to work in this weird little corner of the universe. And we understand that, but, you know, hopefully we can work through that. Anybody else before? Yeah, Steve. Yep. All just part of the process. You know, something might emerge out of that where everybody starts to say, hey, you know, we've already got homegrown exactly where we ought to go. Or, hey, this is great for elder crew later, or maybe not elder, but maybe deacon, who knows? So that's all just part of the process, an ongoing thing, which we hope would continue past the current six that we've got, that would be a regular part of our growth process here in the church, and seeing young men come up through and say, hey, let's put our finger on them, and hopefully they'll come along. So, yeah. Anybody else? Good questions so far. Good comments. No? All right, Scott, if you've got anything you want to cover there. And if you come up with another question in the meantime, I'll be happy to stop and take it.
I wasn't a planned speaker tonight. I don't have anything special to say, but because I'm the fingers behind the keyboard behind the letter here, not without the review and revision of all of the collective elders and pastors here, but since we've handed it out, if you've had a chance to peruse it and anything stands out or you have a question about something, maybe the way something's worded or it's not clear, we did try to lay out the tentative process. It's also the process that's laid out in our Constitution of Bylaws that, you know, it's not going to be done in a closet. The elders aren't just going to go off, find a guy, drop him in here and go, boom, this is who you have to live with. That's not how we function. That's why we're letting you know now, well in advance, hopefully of when that ultimate transition happens. But, you know, using the associate pastor role, getting him in here, to function alongside of us, hopefully for a while, and ease into the position of full-time. Ideally, that's what we'd like to see happen. And that's the plan that we've laid out here. Everything that you heard from Al and Reed tonight is contained in this letter here. There's just some different words. Both Reed and Al went into a little more detail and some aspects. Al, much more personal with what's going on with him, which I greatly appreciated, so that you all know what's been happening here for a while and what's been the kind of sparking this. And I'll tell you right up front, I think Ed mentioned it, but I will as well. The sense of urgency to have this plan in place up front, get in front of this, if you will, is really at Al's urging, right? He has said we've needed to have succession planning. And if it were not for him, we likely would, as Reed say, be plodding along, going, yeah, that's a good idea, and we'll get to that someday, maybe the next elders meeting and the next and the next and the next, until it's here, before you know it. So being able to put a stake in the ground, shoot for something, is hopefully a growth experience for us. It's going to be a learning process. For sure, for everyone involved, for us and for you all. We're going to need candid feedback as the candidates are brought forward. If there's more than one and we bring them in among us and you have them in your home for dinner, you take them out for coffee, which we hope will happen as they come in, you know, we're going to need candid feedback and go, yeah, that guy gives me the creeps, or, you know, did you know what, you know, he did last weekend, that sort of thing, and stuff that sometimes comes up when their guard is down as opposed to a formal interview process. You've all been in professional careers and jobs. You know how it is. Somebody at the interview table can be a very different person once you hire them and put them behind the desk and start doing the job and you didn't realize what you got. So that's why we need collective prayer, input, involvement from everyone here. What we're doing as the selection committee up front, which is a group of the elders and deacons, as you see in the letter there, we're just kind of being the upfront filters, right? So we're weeding out all of the ne'er-do-wells and people who would come in. Hopefully we're catching the wolves in sheep clothing and chasing them away so that there's no one that will come in these doors that will try to tear us apart or have their own agenda. With respect to that, that's why we need collective wisdom for that we would be able to distinguish that. And then, you know, as they make their way through the phases and the gates, you know, then they come among us and get to know us and evaluate that way as well. One of the things that we have is a temptation in this process is to go seek an existing pastor that we know and like and try to recruit them away from their current church. We would like to avoid poaching if possible, simply because they have their charge. They have their church. They have their shepherd, their fold that they are currently watching over, and we don't think it would be kosher, so to speak, to just go and snatch them away from that fold and leave them in a position where they would have to do the same. It's different if the person is already looking to leave, and then we explore the reasons why. That's a questioned through the phone interview or the face-to-face, and all of that. And that happens, right? Sometimes it's not a good fit, right? Maybe that person was a new hire. They got in and said, this wasn't what I expected. And sometimes churches are mean, and they just fire pastors for no good reason. And then you've got someone that's available. So we have to factor in and weigh all of that. And with when Reed came on, many of you, most of you weren't here at the time. He was a known entity to the congregation. He succeeded our father as the senior pastor here. And so that was less of an issue. We don't know if that's going to happen this time around. That's why the description in this paper and before you is we don't know who God has, right? We don't have our eyes set on anyone right now. Yeah, go ahead, Al.
One of the key things is whoever we consider, references is a huge piece of this deal. We have to have solid references, and they're not just a reference letter, but in-depth conversations with every reference. You really, you know, I've hired and fired a lot of people over my career, even in the professional world. Resumes mean very little. References.
Yeah. Yes. That's right. Absolutely. Absolutely. Hi, Kathy.
Hi. Do we have a time frame when we're shooting for, like, to have the committee in place to move forward with, like, a conference?
We don't have a solid time frame, but the sooner the better. With Al already having stepped down officially as the associate pastor, technically that position is available and open. And so we sort of floated this already with one person kind of behind the scenes where we got a referral from a trusted pastoral resource. And Al had a little upfront conversation and listened to the sermons and we just decided to table it for the time being, that individual, until we could come before you with this and formalize it a little bit more. But we will start actively pursuing that. Ideally, we'd get someone in here in the very near future, because the goal would be to have as much transition time and side-by-side with Reed to make that happen as seamlessly as possible. And should we get into a situation where the person doesn't pan out, that we don't get up to, 6 months from Reed's announced retirement and then find ourselves having to scramble to find someone else, right? Not that the collective elders at the time, should we all still be in place, couldn't maintain for a short period of time like we did before on Reed's sabbatical, but that would just be a short-term situation, right? Not a desired long-term kind of thing. So, very soon, basically, we're doing that. But we wanted to bring this here first before we actually formally put out the word and, suddenly people were hearing names or seeing faces or things like that and going, who's that person? Why are they here? So you'll know if that happens, right? But I think on the outside, we're, 5 to 7 maybe for Reed to have that transition, if that's possible, just be because it's mentioned in the letter, around 5, give or take, depending on how the Lord works all this out, right? And Reed's health and how long that sustains and whatnot. So, yeah. Anything else? All right, if there's nothing more from the floor, you have the letters in front of you. You can take them home and process them. This is an open and ongoing discussion. So we need input. If you know of people, if you want to throw a name at us, please do that. Start with the pastors. We'll collect that input and kind of take it from there and go with it. As you see the outline, the steps for the outline, it's TBD as to who's going to do what and how many people are going to be involved in some of those steps. But up front, we're going to be doing the initial vetting and collecting of resumes and references and whatnot. Let's start there. And then, and I should say, if you know of recommendations and if you know of somebody we shouldn't consider, somebody out there, if you hear this name, run away. Yeah. Yeah.
When they went back and asked the first church, why didn't you warn us? They said you didn't ask.
You didn't ask, yeah.
So we really want to avoid that issue.
Yes, and, please.
And we're not out looking for dirt, but we should know facts.
Yes. Absolutely. Ed, can I ask you to wrap us up then in prayer if there's no other questions from the floor? Thanks.
Heavenly Father, thank you that we have discussions like this in the open. We see this as a reflection of how you built your church from the very beginning. We thank you for every brother and sister here tonight. We pray that you would guide us through this journey, that you'd already be working on paths to bring someone here, that you'd already be stirring up in the hearts of our membership their desire to be part of this process. We thank you for how you've blessed this church materially and how you've kept this church faithful to your gospel and your word. We ask for safe travels for all as they head home tonight. I praise you. Thank you, in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Thank you.